All right, everybody. Welcome back to episode 4 of 615 Guys, the number one podcast recorded on a ping pong table. We want to start off by thanking today's sponsor, Jeff Gannon, State Farm agent in Providence Marketplace. Shout out, Jeff. So today we got all the guys here. We got me, Jackson. We got Sean.
What's up?
We got Connor.
What's up?
And we got Denton.
Hello, hello.
And so we've actually today have our first ever real big time guest. Everybody, welcome Scott Meyer.
I don't know about big time, but thanks for having me.
Big time
compared to us.
No shade to Bryson Brody, but you know, this guy's got a pretty, probably better resume than you do. Start out, where have all the places you've played, or step by step here?
Like in college?
Yeah.
I played at Alabama from 2016 to 2018, and then I played at Vanderbilt from 2019 to 2020.
That's pretty cool. That's two big time schools, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Collegiately, you know, Alabama and Vanderbilt are a little bit different levels. So, what made you decide to make the switch, and what was like the transfer portal like?
There's just a lot that I transferred. So I started in 2017 on the team that won the national championship. And then 2018 season came around, and there's a new coach that came in, and he benched me basically before he ever saw me play. And so I didn't play the whole season, but I still got put on scholarship. So I was a walk-on originally. So there's like, obviously I didn't really mess up. And so as the season goes on, I realized that he was the punter at San Diego State when the other kid's dad was the long snapper there. So they've known each other for 30 years.
Like
so,
the coach?
Yeah, the coach and then the other kid's dad he replaced me with. So I was just kind of tired of that. I was graduating, and Vanderbilt was just a great opportunity. And so that's why I transferred.
So it was some daddy ball going on.
Yeah, man. You think it's in high school only? No.
So college. So speaking of like high school and stuff, I'm sure like recruiting, like getting recruited by Bama, that had to be pretty cool. Like that whole process, tell us about
that.
Yeah,
that had been exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was weird. I was, you know, pretty highly ranked as a long snapper, but there's only a few long snappers getting, you know, full scholarships to like big FBS schools in the Power 5 a year. And so I had a couple small ones like FCS, and then I had a couple preferred walk-ons to like Western Kentucky, Marshall, Georgia Tech, which not that small, Miami. And so these were like offers that they're like, you can come in and start right away, but you're not on scholarship. And I knew I didn't want to go to a smaller school no matter what, like because I got into long snapping just to go play in the SEC or the ACC. And so I emailed the special teams analyst at Alabama, told him my situation, told him, you know, who I was talking to. And he's like, well, we don't really offer preferred walk-ons until like later on. He's like, so why don't you come in late January on an unofficial visit and we'll talk. So I went in on a visit, and it was me and this kicker. And we were the only kids that weren't offered scholarships on the visit. Everybody else was on their official visits where they pay for everybody to come in and, like, they pay for their hotels and everything. And I just, like, drove there with my parents. And so I went through the whole thing with those kids. And then finally they're like, well, you can come here. You can back up Cole Mazza, who's the Chargers snapper now. You can be his backup your freshman year. And then the next 4 years after, you can compete for the starting job. So that's kind of immediately I fell in love with the facility. I went home and I told my parents, like, this is where I wanted to be. And, like, it's kind of crazy because going in, I told my parents, I was like, there's no way I'm going here. Like, I don't want to go here just because I didn't think the situation would be that great.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite team, like, growing up?
So I was always a Tennessee and Georgia Tech fan. So I hated Georgia, but then of high school.
You should have hated Alabama if you're a Tennessee fan.
I know. My whole family's from Knoxville. But all of high school, I wanted to go to Georgia. And so they wouldn't offer unless I got into school first. So I couldn't go there.
How do you get like recruited for long snapping?
I went to a bunch of camps. There's ranking camps and I did pretty well there. I went to a lot of summer camps that these schools put on. I remember going into my senior year, I went to probably 11 camps.
I know, like, Coles is a big camp. Like, is there any other ones, like, bigger than that?
I want to say bigger. I mean, there's Coles and there's like Rubio. No, not really. I mean, it's all personal opinion. It's all, you know, Coles does a lot of their stuff based on numbers. A lot of other people base it off of their eye test or whatever they want to do. You know, some coaches care about those rankings. Some coaches don't. Some just want to see you snap in person. Some want to see your game film. So it's really all personal preference. I tell kids, I say, go to as many people as you can if you can afford it. And then learn as much as you can from everybody and take what fits you and then go do your own thing. Because that's what's worked for me. I have, you know, so many friends that are, like, I know a long snapper at just about every school in, like, FBS. Cool. And so, like, every single one of them, like, would probably tell you the same thing, like, just go do your own thing, but take as much as you can from everybody else.
Mm-hmm. How did you, like, when did you decide you wanted to be a long snapper?
So when I was 8, my dad told me that it was the best way to the NFL. And I kind of, like, I always remembered that, and I always played center, but I was never a long snapper. And then going into my freshman year of high school, I just remember I was, like, in 8th grade going into freshman year, and I talked to our head coach at our varsity team, who I had known since I was in middle school, because he was at my middle school before. But I was like, I want to, learn the long snap. And he's like, oh, that's great. We have, like, our 5-star long snapper actually here. And I was like, oh. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, he's like, yeah, he's going to be a senior this year. I was like, oh, great. So then I broke my foot that summer playing basketball. And so I was just sitting around during summer workouts, sitting around during, like, the fall camp and stuff. And he was just on the side snapping because, like, if you're a long snapper, you don't really have much going on. So I was like, hey, Coach McFarland told me you'd teach me how to long snap. He's like, oh, he told you that. I was like, well, can you teach me how to long snap? And he's like, yeah, sure. And so that's how I really got started with it.
In high school, did you play any other positions?
I played defensive end and right guard a lot going into freshman year. And sophomore year, I did a lot too. And then junior year, I would always try to sneak down to the kicking field and just hang out with the kickers and snap and stuff every time. And then our practice field was up top of our game field, and all the kickers would be on the game field. And our whole, like, team would be on the practice field. And every single day, our coach would call me and be like, Scott Meyer, get up here. And I'm like, goodness gracious.
So I guess you didn't really, like, miss having to do all the hitting drills.
No, no. And then, like towards the end of junior year, they finally just quit on me. And they're just like, quit, like, oh, like, he's just going to go snap. Let him snap. Like, that's it. Just let him do that.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Blessed Trinity.
Where's that school?
It's in Roswell, Georgia. And I'm from Alpharetta. But it's pretty good football program. They won the state championship the last 3 years, besides this year. So,
did you ever win that one?
No, we lost my senior year to our rivals. Sucks. To our rival that we shut out during the season, too. Right. So it's kind of wild. That's
tough. Our girls' basketball team lost in the state championship. Was it last night?
Last night, yeah.
That was
sad.
That's heartbreaking. Yeah. It's heartbreaking for everybody in the school, man. Because that's what everybody kind of gets on top of that too.
Yeah, everyone wants you to succeed. The whole town, really.
Our point guard was a 4-year starter, so it was sad to see her last game go out like that.
Right. Especially when their season got cut short last year too. Was it the championship or
they were in the state semifinals last year, and because of COVID, it got canceled.
Man, that's the same way we were. Well, ours didn't get canceled, but we were in the semifinals the year before, and then, like, this was going to be our year when we were in it. And then the high school across the street was the public school, and they were in the state championship for the first time in, like, 15 years. So, like, everybody in the town, you know, was ready, and then we played our game. They played right after us, and we both lost.
Dang.
So, yeah, we lost in overtime, and our running back fumbled on the one.
Oh my. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was bad.
So once you got to Bama, you know, there was obviously there's quite a few studs at Bama. I mean, there's some decent guys that always come in every year. So, like, what was it like, you know, every day, like, in practice, and you see all these just absolute studs who are now in the NFL, just like, or late in their college career, just crushing it?
Dude, it's weird because I always thought about this my freshman year, because it's kind of like when if you, like, were to go see, like, the Grand Canyon, you don't want to, like a picture, fine, but, like, you want to remember that memory forever. And I remember my freshman year, we had probably the greatest defense in college football history. And, like, every day, like, Reuben Foster, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, whatever. We had, I think, we had technically 13 starters because we had two guys that rotated in. Mm-hmm. All went to the NFL like either that year or the year after.
Yeah, I was
like,
the stacked year.
It was it was wild. And I remember just thinking like I was trying to like take as many like mind images as possible with my eyes. I was like this is like never gonna happen again. And so it was kind of cool because I kind of realized it like as a freshman. So as a junior and a sophomore, it was something that like I always could like just remember everything by. But it was just wild seeing these guys in the weight room and run around and like they're so athletic.
Yeah.
Could you bench more than any of them?
Not any of those boys on the defense.
Who'd you room with? You room with any big names?
In the hotel or in dorms?
Either. Anywhere.
In the hotel, my first year I roomed with Adam Griffith. He was our starting kicker at Alabama. My second year, I roomed with J.K. Scott every week, and that was a
He's was probably a the time. Best college punter I've ever seen. I mean, he would punt it like 75 yards in college. It was crazy.
Yeah, he got robbed of the right guy all 4 years in a row.
Oh, yes, yeah. It was insane. Because, I mean, stupid. In college, you're not usually looking for like a star punter. But, I mean, even as a casual fan, you knew that guy was good.
Yeah. And then my junior year, they put me with a freshman punter, Skylar DeLong. And then my roommate's freshman year was Giles Amos, who was another walk-on that earned a scholarship at Alabama. And then he ended up grad transferring to Arkansas State, and now he's trying to get drafted. Mac Hereford, shout out Mac Hereford. He's Mr. Instagram and TikTok.
Oh,
he's got like 250,000 on TikTok now or something like that.
Speaking of, I heard you might have got verified today.
Not today. I got verified on Instagram a couple weeks ago.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting, you know. It's a good feeling.
How's it feel?
How's that blue check feel?
It feels good. You know, it brings a lot of clout to my life, I guess. We'll see. I don't know. The followers haven't gone up, so maybe it will.
Speaking of Mac, I was just scrolling through Twitter the other day, and I saw where he tweeted out something, and it said, if Alabama, because, you know, Alabama won the SEC championship today for basketball. He said if they make it to the Final Four, he would get a mullet. I was wondering if do you think he could pull that off?
Or? See, that's so soft of him to say that because I'm growing a mullet now and nobody has to win, nobody has to lose. Like, I'm growing that. So I want to see him shave his head if they win. Ooh, that's what I want.
That's more exciting.
That is more exciting. A mullet, like, he lives in Nashville. Like, it's
a
natural
thing. That's
kind of, yeah.
That's not like big.
I mean, yeah, I tell him it's soft too, so it's okay. He can take it.
I was like, y'all have had quite a few Bama guys come to Vandy. As like transfers, that's gotta be pretty cool just to see.
Them. Yeah, me, Mac, Joe Bullivis is coming in as a kicker.
Yeah, so. I saw that the other day.
Yeah,
a few days ago.
It's cool to see.
Speaking of Max, who do you think's better, Tua or Mac Jones?
I mean, I think Tua's got more raw talent. I think Mac. I don't know. They're both great in the locker room with guys, and they're both like big team leaders.
Tua looks like he'd be the nicest person on the planet.
He is. I mean, he's a great guy. So is Mac. I mean, it's kind of weird, like, being in that locker room because, like, everybody has this outside perspective of everybody, but really on the inside, like, everybody gets along. Everybody liked each other. Like, it was awesome. And just seeing that quarterback room kind of develop and turn into everybody that they've turned into has been wild.
Yeah. How nice was Nick Saban?
Honestly, dude, he was awesome. A lot of people have these same thing, have the same perspective from the outside, but
yeah,
he is scary.
That rat
dude.
Poison.
The first couple times I sat down in his office, like he's like five. He's probably like
he's
five,
short.
Six, five, seven.
He's short. He's
but
short.
His desk is tall and his chair is tall.
Of course it is.
And the chair that you sit in is a lot smaller. So he's like looking down on you.
I mean.
And he's got no, he doesn't have lights around his office. He just has like these like kind of spotlights. It's pretty dark in there. Like no windows or anything. Like they're all covered. And it's nerve-wracking those first couple times. And then I remember one time, like, when I had one meeting with him. It went great. The next meeting I had with him, he cussed me out. And that was the scariest moment of my life because I realized, I was like, there's no windows in here. There's nothing. Like, I'm
he
scared.
He could murder you. Nobody knows.
He's got a door that automatically closes. I mean.
Wait, why did he cuss you out?
He got mad at me for – I was going on visits to schools when I was in the transfer portal because he let me come back and do workouts. And he said, if you don't find a better place or a better opportunity, you can always come back and keep your scholarship. And so I went on visits to South Carolina and Vanderbilt. And I told my special teams coordinator, I told our strength coach, who are like the two guys you go to. And then it was just, he got mad I didn't tell him. And so it was one of those things I was like, all right, from now on, I'm skipping the chain of command. I'm going straight to the top. Because, like, I didn't want to bother him with that. Bro, I didn't want to ask. Because yeah, I skipped.
100 exactly. players to worry about.
And know, I skipped our two spring scrimmages. So it was like inter-squad scrimmages. No fans or anything. And but, like, I was told twice, like, it's cool. Like, go do it. And he never told me yes. So that's what he got mad about.
Was that the only time you got a good old-fashioned Nick Saban butt-chewing, or was there more times than that?
Off the field, yeah. I never got in trouble or anything. So and my academics were always really good. So, like, off the field, he never yelled at me in our meetings. He always kind of just told me something, like, I could work on. And he was the one that put me on scholarship. So he's done so much for me and my family. I can never say anything bad about him.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the field, there's been times where he's just like, get the snap down or get those laces, something like that.
How was your scholarship announced?
Dude, so the year I got it, they gave it to me in a defensive back. And the year before, they put a kid on scholarship and they announced it in practice. And so I was like, so he calls me. I get a text from our strength coach. He's like, coach wants to see you. And it was like right before meetings. And I was like, but it was the last day before school started.
Yeah.
And he came up to me. There's actually a picture on my Instagram of him like coming up to me and talking to me and like holding up a number 3. And he asked me how many years I'd been there or how many years I had left. Because if you hadn't been there for more than 2 years, he wasn't going to put you on no matter what. And so that's what he was holding the 3. He's like, this is your second year or third year. And so anyway, I go up to his office, and he's like, just want to let you know, I signed your scholarship papers today. I don't think this will, but I don't want you to, like, stop working at all because of it. And so I was kind of just like,
yeah, I bet that was awesome.
I was like, thank you? And then this is, like, super, like, anticlimactic. And then I thought he was going to say something in a meeting or say something at practice. Nothing.
It didn't get announced at all?
Mm-mm. People found out because my roommate, Mac Hereford, was one of the guys that ran Barstool Bama, and so they posted it when I got, and so that's how everybody found out.
Was that not disappointing? That
no, I mean, I didn't. Honestly, I hated being in the spotlight. Anytime I had to go in front of everybody, I just did not like it.
Yeah, I mean,
so I was pretty relieved. I always thought about what it would be like if he like announced in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I've seen videos on Instagram.
It would
have been pretty sick.
Yeah,
like, I'm like, okay, like I can't cry. Like, I'm not gonna cry. Because the year after, when I left, they put my old roommate on scholarship, and he's one of my best friends. And he announced it in front of the whole team. And there's a video. Cool. It was pretty dope to see.
How's Vanderbilt like compared to Alabama?
I mean, it's a little different. Alabama's got a lot more money, or they put more money to athletics. Vanderbilt has the money. They use it more towards
education.
Academics.
Yeah.
It's just different. We had a new staff coming in this year. I think they're going to really change things around.
So going to Vanderbilt, you must be a little smart yourself. Are you?
Dude, I had a 3.0 GPA in high school, and that's like a kind way of putting it, because I barely got a 3.0. I couldn't get into – there's a lot of places I didn't get into. And then in college, I kind of just showed up, did the work academically, got a 3.5, and that was good enough.
So that's known. You don't have to have a high GPA,
No, you're
really good at long snapping.
Hey, I'll tell you one piece of advice for everybody is that everybody always thinks about getting to like the highest, like they think about all these schools, but in reality, you're only going to end up at one school. Like whether that's recruiting or whatever, like everybody's worried about, and you get these offers like Michigan, Ohio State, this and that. It's like, well, you're only going to end up at one of them.
So you see all these like big 5-stars now who post all these stuff, and in the background, they have 30 different schools that they've gotten scholarships from. Like,
yeah, and they might not turn out to be anything. Like, we had the number one linebacker in the country come in. We had the number one running back all in the same year. We had number one something else. We had the number one running back in the country come in 1 year when I came in. And then we had a 3-star running back. And then the number one running back ended up transferring after his first year. And then the 3-star running back was Josh Jacobs. So, and then we had, same year, we had linebackers come in. We had the number one running back or number one linebacker, Ben Davis. And then we had like another 5-star linebacker was Mac Wilson.
Yeah.
It's like, well, look who ended up where, you know? So
yeah.
It's not about stars. And yeah, I just don't get it.
Well, this year, like 2021, don't you have like the best recruiting class like ever.
Yeah, it was stupid. They had so many five stars.
Yeah, but I think this year y'all like broke the record.
Yeah, because it was Ohio State. Yeah, I don't know what year it was, but then we got it this year, and then just recently we got another five star in the 2022 class. I was a running back.
They'll all transfer to Tennessee. We don't got to worry about it.
They don't want McDonald's bags. You know, they actually want something. They want a ring.
You know what's weird? Hearing like your graduation number said on the recruiting classes. You know,
that's pretty weird.
You know, whenever they say 2022 or 2023, yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's my graduation yeah. year. You know,
kind of hits you there. You're kind of getting there.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
You know, what's weird is that they're mentioning like graduation years, like. Multiple years after I graduated college. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, I graduated college 2019, 20. Well, I'm like, what? 2022? Yeah. Like, these kids were born in like 2004. I was like, what?
Yeah, weren't all y'all born in 2004?
Yeah. Yes.
Goodness gracious. I remember 2004.
The fact that you remember that, and then I was just born.
That's wild.
So, was it your freshman year that they won the national championship?
It was my sophomore year. So, it was. My freshman year, I was the backup, and we lost to Clemson and Deshaun Watson. Then my sophomore year,
Clemson was good.
It was a pick play. It was illegal.
It was illegal. That was a pick play.
Hunter Renfro was there for like 18 years.
Yes, he was.
He was. That was. And then my redshirt freshman year, we won. That was the year I started. We played in the Sugar Bowl. I actually broke my wrist in the Sugar Bowl. And then I played in the Sugar Bowl, and then we won the national championship also. And so that was a special year.
Did you get to snap in the championship game?
Yeah, I did. I snapped all those field goals. So, yeah, it was pretty wild. There's, like, a video that – because I'm from Georgia, and the game was in Atlanta against Georgia. I always wanted to go to Georgia.
In the new, like, big old stadium too, right?
Brand new stadium. Yeah. First year it was open, and it was just, like, a wild, like – and then that came down to that moment right before we – going to overtime, we kicked the field goal to win.
Oh yeah!
And like my legs were shaking, I could feel the ground shaking. It was
like,
so loud.
How were you really nervous? Like
when that happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, I was pretty nervous.
The end zone?
I just had to keep thinking the same thing, the same thing over. Like it's just everything, you know, everything's led up to this. But like there was a time on TV where it was like we're running out there and they talk about our kicker. They talk about J.K. Scott, our punter and holder. Then they talk about me being a freshman from Georgia.
That's
got to
be wild.
Like Scott Meyer, a freshman from Georgia. Yeah, it was like Chris Fowler saying that. I'm like, I look at the video after we win. I'm like, that's sick. But it's kind of wild because that was a moment that in high school, like a lot of kids used to kind of like make jokes about like long snapping and stuff. And then that was kind of a moment that everybody was just like, okay, this actually worked out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was nerve-wracking.
That was a wild game in itself. Just not even from that, but like, what was like halftime like? Because I know obviously there was a big momentum shift after halftime.
Man, it was quiet. It was real quiet, and then the specials left. But I heard, you know, Coach Saban went off a little bit, pointed everything out that everybody did wrong, and then you know Tua came in and provided a spark. And you know what's wild is like he was thinking about transferring too.
Yeah, I heard like if he was going to go to like the USC if he didn't play that game or something.
He didn't know where he wanted to go. So the night before the game, we all sat at the same dinner table. There's eight of us. It was me, Bradley Bozeman, who's a guard for the Ravens.
Yeah.
Tua, Jonah Williams is a tackle for the Bengals. J.C. Hassenauer is a guard for the Steelers, or center for the Steelers now. And then Ross Pierce-Baker, who I think he was just in Philly. And then Andy, our kicker. So there's seven of us. And we like sat together throughout the whole year and like made so many jokes and like had such a good time. We all grew pretty close. It was just like that one special time of the week, whatever. And he like pulled us together like right before the game, like the night before the game. He's like, "Hey, I'm transferring if I don't play tomorrow." And well, everybody's like,
"That's wild."
Well, everybody's wild. Like, "Well, I mean, I'm thinking, I'm like, you don't like, I mean, quarterbacks don't rotate in, so
yeah, how
like,
are you gonna play tomorrow?"
I'm like, "Okay." I was like, and I told him, I was like, "Dude, I was like, go to like." A&M or Ole Miss.
Yeah. Do you think Saban told him that he may play?
I don't know. I think so. He probably did. No, you know, I don't know. Now that I think about it, like, maybe, like, if he was a linebacker, maybe, or, like, a special teams guy, like, yeah. Like, but, like, a quarterback, like,
yeah.
You can't really tell a quarterback that. Bad. Yeah, you can't really tell a quarterback that. But, I mean, Yeah, so that was kind of wild to see. And then at halftime, he plays, and then he wins. And then I went up to him and was like, so I guess you're not leaving.
Yeah. It was ironic because didn't he go in the fourth quarter of that game?
He went right after halftime.
And then the next year, he basically would only play the first half because they'd be up like 63 to nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, every game, yeah. It basically was like that. And like when he was like second in the Heisman race, but like he didn't have the stats because they took him out of halftime.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, he had like 70 less passing attempts than whoever won.
Kyler Murray that year.
Yes, Tua got robbed that year. I hate Alabama, but Tua definitely should have won that year.
Yeah, agreed.
He's got to go down as like one of the best football players who have never won a Heisman. Probably, I would say. Career speaking.
He's a five-star guy, as Mr. Butch Jones says.
Going back to that kick in the national championship, there's a stigma that Alabama has terrible kickers. I mean, what do you got to say about that?
I mean, Will Riker this year went, 11 for 11?
He changed the culture.
Yeah, they changed this year, but before that, I mean, it's been bad.
Well, didn't y'all always have, like, a kicker that was good that would be, like, hurt or something?
Well, Reichard was there, but then he got hurt that year.
He was hurt last year.
Yeah.
And then he was a freshman last year, and then this year was his second year. But I don't know. I mean, some of it might be on the kicker, so it might be on the – you know, we had a quarterback hold, and, you know, like we always had quarterbacks hold until J.K. held. And then after J.K. held that one year, they went back to quarterbacks holding. But, like, you never really get practice with them. I mean, they miss their spots a lot. So, like, I'm not just blaming it on just the holder. Yeah,
the snaps were perfect.
Well, I mean – I don't know about that. It was, I mean, there's different snappers throughout the whole thing, but I don't know, man. It was just there's something about it. I mean, it's not easy to play at Alabama in that stadium. It's not, you know, it's something that like, and then once there's a stigma, then that's kind of like what you think about,
yeah.
And then it's just, it's tough.
Did you ever like have those moments where like? You were kind of just like starstruck by all of it. Did that ever happen to you? Like was it your first game, did that ever happen? Or?
No, not really. My first game, I was really nervous, but I didn't really think about like how big of a deal it was because that was my first game was against Florida State. We were the number one team; they were number three.
They had that Cam Newton look-alike that
year. Francois had just got like he got hurt in the fourth quarter of that game.
Yeah, he like broke his leg.
Yeah, and then they like won like three games that whole year.
Yeah, y'all killed them. Right?
Yeah. But it was like a huge deal, like College Game Day, everything, ABC, and I don't know. It was, I didn't really get starstruck by it, but I don't know. It was kind of just like weird, you know?
Yeah.
It was different. It was something that I always dreamed about, but I'm not from Alabama, so and I didn't really grow up an Alabama fan.
Yeah.
So I think that made things a lot easier for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. Probably be different if you like went to Georgia or something.
Yeah, then I'd be like, oh gosh, like you know, I think about all these people that played here, and then like I think about all the people watching, and then it's just.
So who was your favorite person that you played with there?
As a person or as an athlete?
I'll do both. Just
dude, the best athlete and probably the best one of the best people was Minkah Fitzpatrick.
For I like sure. He is good.
My next door neighbor coached Minkah in Pee Wee football.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was in New Jersey maybe.
Yeah, he's from Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Steelers fan, so I like me some Minkah.
Yeah, and then one of the best people is probably J.K. Scott, for sure. Very spiritual guy. And he just helped a lot.
That's pretty cool.
So you also snapped for Vandy this past year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so you made history.
A little bit of history.
Right. I did, man. You know, just I didn't make the history. Sarah Fuller made the history.
You snapped for the history.
Was it in the Tennessee game, right?
History.
What?
Was it the Tennessee game?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's going to be a trivia question one day, maybe.
Well,
you know the answer. So.
Were you more nervous for the national championship or for that?
The national championship. I don't know.
I mean, still, you know.
It was the last game of my career. That was the weird thing. And, like, I knew it would be the last game of my career, and I knew that would happen. So it's kind of a cool story to tell, but I was definitely more nervous for the national championship.
Yeah.
How long was that in the works? Like, how long did y'all – like, when did you hear about that it was a possibility that she might come kick for y'all?
Well – it was after our Florida game this year. We had one of our kickers. He tested positive for COVID, and then we all had trackers in our pads. And anybody that was within 15 minutes combined of whoever tested positive has to go quarantine for 2 weeks, no questions asked. And so all the specialists tested positive. Or not, nobody tested, no, I'm sorry, we didn't all test positive. We all, like, were within that fifth week. We were around, I was around him for, like, 24 minutes combined. And, like, I mean, 15 of that was at halftime when we're just sitting there by ourselves, like, outside. I don't, it's whatever. But, so the only kids that didn't have to go into quarantine was our starting punter who had already tested positive, and then one of our other snappers who wasn't dressed out for that game. And so we didn't, and our punter didn't know how to kick, so they brought her in because they're like, well, she's like the goalie. She can figure it out. Like, she can, she's, I mean, because they tried out people on our team. Nobody could kick. And so they're like, she can at least kick an extra point, and we'll see how that goes.
Because of COVID, you know, sometimes your kicker will be like your fifth string quarterback. So were you like the seventh string running back or anything?
I wish it worked like that. I wish I could tell people I was like the sixth string quarterback and just be like,
yeah, I'm the backup to the backup's backup's assistant quarterback.
Yeah. That's like, dude, I was in a bowl game in Hawaii like a month ago, and this guy's like, hey, you're a long snapper. Do you want to come play linebacker? I was like, I looked at him, I was like, you serious? I started laughing, and I was like, and then he's like, serious. I was like, no. I was like, no, I do not.
A little bit different. Of
I was like, I, no.
Heck, I didn't even want to hit in high school, let alone these big old guys now who hit the weight room for a while. Man.
And I was, you know, it's wild is like, in college, I ran a pro-style punt, so I had a block, I had a snap then block, and none of my other friends had to do that. So all my friends were like, snap, run downfield, nothing. And then me, I'd be getting bulldozed and cussed out. And what then was, bulldozed again.
What was your worst hit?
In a game?
Yeah, do you remember?
Yeah, they dude, I got tanked against LSU last season, the Joe Burrow year. And they threw a flag right next to me. I was like, thank you. And then they threw a flag on somebody else hitting somebody else on our team. And I was like, oh. That was a bad one. This year was a bad one, too, against LSU. I don't know. There's just been a few when I'm just running downfield and just get blindsided.
Hey, what's the best block you've made?
Best block I've made? Dude, I will say, not block, but like bragging rights, I've made 2 tackles in my career, and both of them are against future first-round picks.
Heck yeah.
Okay. I know.
So that's...
Who was that?
Rondell Moore from Purdue, that receiver number 4, and then Derek Stingley from LSU.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah, I got a video of that one. So I want to say, I don't know the, like, the best block I've made, but that was probably a highlight.
Yeah, Sean over here, he was the kicker for our football team, and he had, what, like one-third of a tackle?
He likes
year?
To claim he made a full tackle.
It was a push out of bounds. So.
Yeah, that's a tackle. That's
it
a POV.
It wasn't even a push. Film, he didn't push.
Yes, I did.
He didn't touch him.
It was a love tap at most.
He touched him, that's a tackle.
Exactly.
You better make him put that on the stat sheet right there.
He scared him enough to where he eventually got tackled.
Exactly. It's either that or you're going to run over him. So. He had to step out of bounds.
Slow him down.
Yeah, it's funny. It was funny watching the tape though, because he started to like run back, but it looked like his feet were almost like he was tripping over his own feet at that point because he was like so nervous.
No, I was not.
Yes, you were.
No, I was not.
One of our games, Sean kicked it out of bounds 5 times.
No, it was like because in high school,
if you kick it out of bounds, you know they just let you kick again. Yes, we're facing our main rival. It's Mount Juliet, and the first kick, Sean kicks it out of bounds. It's like, all right, you know, you just get to kick it again. And then by kick 4, you're tired of it. And you're just giving the ball at the 1 yard line. I'm tired of this. And it was hilarious.
And then they gave him a nice little chant.
I mean, I had 6 points that game.
And 6 kicks out of bounds.
Hey, did y'all win?
I mean, you got to pick it
up. Did you win?
No.
No.
Did you lose because it was your fault?
No, yes. We didn't.
No, we wouldn't. Yep.
It was all Sean's fault.
Hey, then it doesn't matter. No way. That's going to be a great story at your high school reunion one day. Yeah.
When MJ said, get a kicker to Lebanon High School the night that we lost to them.
Well, wasn't it like 3-3 at one point? I mean, I remember that. At the start of the game,
we started off like 2 or 3 games like
three points.
Well, we had like an opening kickoff that was like went for 95 yards, but then we had to settle for a field goal.
Yep. The opening kickoff of the game against our arch rival, we were turning it inside the 5-yard line and settled for 3 points. And then like didn't score again.
Yeah,
we can thank Rigsby for the amazing snap.
Good job, Rigsby.
So I think we asked you this off air, but are you planning on going to the NFL?
Yeah, I'm training for it right now. And my pro day is actually tomorrow, the 15th. So, you know, It'll be fun.
Is that gonna Where be are you doing Nashville? That
at? Yeah, it's at Vandy. It's at our indoor facility. We have a bunch of teams coming to watch. It's me, Dio Dambo, who's our defensive end, who's going to be – he's a high prospect. Andre Mintz, he's a good prospect, outside linebacker. Then we have a few free agents like Jordan Matthews, who's like a 8-year vet. Caleb Scott has been on a few practice squads. So we have a good group out there tomorrow.
Have you been in touch with any teams?
Yeah, I've talked to a few. A few send questionnaires and stuff, and a few have talked at those like bowl games I played in. Yeah. And so, but I'll know a lot more after this pro day happens.
What's it like, you know, being one step away from every little kid's, you know, ultimate dream?
It's weird to think about because, I don't know, it's weird to have a perspective when you're younger, and then when you get here, it's kind of just like, if it works out, it works out. I'm going to give my best at it. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But, like, not knowing if I've played my last game is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And, like, I hope I haven't. So, but, like, just the fact that, like, I've been, like, I got to play, like, I got to, like, they flew me to Hawaii, and, like, I stayed in a hotel. Like, that was awesome. Like, that's just something I've dreamed of. I never thought I'd do a pro day like this as a walk-on. Like, there's just so many opportunities. I have an agent. Like, there's just so many different things that have happened that are leading up to the draft that I never thought would be possible. So, like, the fact that I'm kind of living this life right now that I'm living has just been, like, a dream come true.
Yeah. What's always been your plan for, you know, possibly life after football?
Man, there's a – that's – I don't know. One of my biggest fears in life is not living up to my full potential and not leaving a legacy. So, I mean, I want to get into broadcasting. I really like songwriting. There's just so many different things.
What type of songs?
I like country music. I mean, I like all different types of music. I like writing country music.
You're in the best place to learn how to write.
That's why I came to Vandy, actually. Yeah. It was between Vandy, Florida State, and Virginia. And, I mean, Vandy, the Nashville. Yeah, yeah, so.
Yeah. Long snapper / country music writer. It's a nice resume.
Yeah, that'd be a way to go.
You could get any big songwriters on here. That'd be nice, you know. You just hit them up for us and then just tell them to come on the pod.
I got Ben Hayslip from Lebanon.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Shout out, Ben, if you're listening.
Want to come on?
if you had the option to be like a songwriter or play in the NFL, which would you choose?
I mean, I think that's kind of
I mean, obvious NFL answer. For sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Whatever my purpose is going to like come out eventually. So that's why I have to keep reminding myself that like whatever is supposed to happen is going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's good you have a backup plan.
Yeah.
In case football doesn't work.
Yeah.
How weird has like COVID been? Like with this year, Vandy obviously was weird everywhere in college football. But even like now with your pro days, obviously the combine wasn't a thing this year. So how's that all been like affected you?
I mean, you know, as far as like the pro days and stuff, like we had to get tested today for tomorrow. Like I haven't been tested in a while. Like everywhere I go, if I have to go, like when I went to Hawaii, I had to get tested. During the season, I had to get tested 3 times a week. Like by this time, I'm just really used to it.
I must say, they didn't stick up that big old thing up your nose.
Sometimes it stuck it to the brain. So it just depends who you got. And then towards the end of the season, you kind of know who's who when like they who shoves it up like how high in your nose. So you kind of know which people to lean to. So that was kind of nice.
You're like, oh yeah, I know. I remember having her. She stuck it up my brain.
Yeah,
like,
dude. There were two.
Tickled my brain.
There were like three or four stations. Every single time. And there were like two. There was a girl and a guy I'd always go to. No matter what. I don't care if their line was long and the other people's were short. I'd just wait.
Was it like a known joke in the locker room? Like, you can't go to Susan.
Yeah. No, it was. They made more jokes about it in front of the people.
Really?
Yeah, than they did. Yeah. I mean, what's it going to do? Hurt your feelings if somebody says, oh, you shoved that thing up somebody's nose too far. Sorry. Like, nah.
So have you missed Alabama at all, transferring to Vanderbilt, or do you feel like Vanderbilt's been a good fit for you?
I mean, it's been a great fit. You know, it's wild to see how everything's played out. I miss Alabama a lot, and I go back, and, like, all my friends are still there, so it's really fun.
Yeah, I always thought about that.
What
about, like, any teammates you miss, like, playing with?
I mean, I miss all of them. But, like, then again, I met so many cool people at Vandy, and, like, they come up to Nashville, or I go to Tuscaloosa, like, it's still a great time, and, like, when I was in Hawaii, I played with my old roommate Giles, who also got invited to the game, which is cool. And then we played with another linebacker, Josh McMillan, who stayed at Alabama. And then we had Brandon Kennedy, the starting center at Tennessee, who played at Alabama with us. And then we had TJ Simmons, who's a receiver, who transferred to West Virginia, who's also at Alabama. So, like, it's cool to see how everybody turned out. And, like, when we're all hanging on a beach in Hawaii just talking about that, it's just, yeah. It was, yeah. So, like, I don't know. I miss playing with all of them, but it all worked out for everybody.
I know that their records might have been actually the complete opposite of each other. You know, 13-0, maybe 0-13. But you know, it's college, so how was the talent level different at each school?
I don't know. I mean, Alabama. Everybody always asks that, but like Alabama, just like these kids come in there, like they're huge, you know.
Yeah.
And like these Vandy kids that come in are pretty big too. Like a lot of them are. There's just, I don't know. There's something. Just a little, there's something missing just about, I don't know if it's size, speed, how things are run, potential, whatever it may be. I don't know.
Because, you know, there's always that random, well, not random, but the guy that will come from, like, North Dakota State that's, like, absolute unit. And, you know, I know for like, baseball, each step, it's the slightest gap. And I've always wondered if, you know, at the big SEC schools, if it's as big as a gap as it looks like record-wise.
I don't know. I mean, like, we had, like, Dio this year, who's our starting defensive end, who'll go, like, he's supposed, before he hurt his Achilles, he'd go, like, second or third round this year. And, like, he could definitely play at Alabama. Like, you could tell, like, he's got the size, the speed, everything. And, you know, we have, I guess, like, I mean, we had a bunch of good players at Vandy, but, like, we had some that just, like, I don't know if they would have played at Alabama. And just like, there's just this little bit of speed difference, a little bit of size, a little bit of strength. Like, it's just like a mix of all of it.
Yeah.
So,
are you like a firm believer in like the SEC is like top tier? Conference. Or just like, because I mean, like, obviously you played teams from like other conferences and stuff. And I know you said like, because the talent difference in each school was just a little different, but not huge. But that's probably closer because it's SEC and SEC. Do you think like if a ACC school or like a Pac-12 or Big Ten, it'd be completely different?
I think, I mean, it's kind of hard. Like, there's some teams in, like, the ACC that'll last. There's in the SEC for sure.
Yeah.
Matter, like, way better. But then, I don't know. Like, Oregon's really good in the Pac-12, but, like, I don't know anybody else who'd really do anything against the SEC. Like, the middle tier SEC and the top tier Pac-12, like,
about
it might
similar,
be a good
yeah.
game.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember we played Washington my freshman year. We played the Washington Huskies, and they were, like, number 4 because we were
yeah.
1.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, like, really good. They were supposed to be really good. And we killed them.
Yeah, I remember that game. It wasn't even close.
No, it wasn't. It was a boring game to watch.
Yeah.
Like, that was just, like, it was, like, the 4 o'clock college football playoff. Like, I don't know, dude. There's just something about West Coast football is just not what it is in, like, Georgia, Florida, Texas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Georgia, yeah. Florida, Texas breeds football players.
Yeah, I think Big Ten's a good conference.
Yeah, I would say they're the second best conference.
You're a big Big Ten guy?
No, I actually hate the Big Ten. I'll give them credit for second, but SEC's number one. Ohio State's my least favorite team in all of sports, so I very much hate the Big Ten.
That's funny.
What did it feel like, you know, like going in like week after week whenever you were at Bama and you would like play these like cupcake teams?
Like the Citadel?
Like you knew you were just going to like crush them? Like what did that, like that week at practice and like everything like leading up to it, like what was that like?
Well, first, the Citadel, we were tied at half.
Yes, I know.
That's
why I said
Citadel. You know, I don't know. It was kind of like they always told the same story about like, it was like our strength coach would always tell a story about how like he's laying on his couch and you know the little kid neighbor comes over, keeps knocking on his door like, hey, come play basketball. He's like, no, I'm tired, go away. And he keeps knocking and he keeps knocking and he's like, no, I'm tired, like go away. And then finally, to get that kid to stop knocking, he goes and beats him 21-0 in basketball. And like he kind of relates, he's like, that's what you have to do to these little teams, like mm-hmm. you can't take your foot off the gas. You like, anything can happen. Like Georgia Southern ran through them, through Alabama a few years ago. There's that famous quote by Saban.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, that's how you kind of get guys motivated. Like, that's a stat booster game for a lot of people. And, like, that's just a game where, like, you might have great film against the big teams, but you might not have the best stats. And then all of a sudden you have like 12 tackles, and that's 12 total tackles to the end of season film. Yeah. And like three sacks, you know? Yeah.
Put yourself out there for some NFL teams or something, you know?
Exactly. I mean, every week counts, and I think a lot of teams really care. I think teams care a lot about how you come out against those small schools.
Mm-hmm.
When there's no environment. Like, we played Mercer. It was, like, cloudy, like, week before Thanksgiving. Nobody was there. Auburn was the week after. Like, so nobody was going to be at this game. And we had a bunch of guys that had great games. And they ended up doing really well in the draft because of that game.
Yeah. I bet Nick Saban has very high expectations for those little teams.
Dude, I will say the most mad I've ever seen him was after we beat Western Kentucky. I mean, he... What I thought he was gonna have a heart attack.
What was the score?
Dude, there's a video. I don't know.
Clearly, it wasn't.
They didn't win big enough. No, it was 40-7. No, Kiffin said something on the mic.
Oh,
he said like something about killing it. I don't know. It was whatever. And
can't listen to the rat poison.
He was mad, dude. He's like, I've never been this like upset after a victory. And I was like, goodness gracious, like this is my freshman year, and Yeah, dude. So if you didn't play, he didn't care what the score was at the end. Like, honestly, he was more happy with a game. Like, we didn't win by a lot. He was always happier against like an SEC team. If we either won by just a little bit but played well, or won by a little bit and didn't play well, compared to if we won like 56-0, took our foot off the pedal, he'd get pissed about that. Over the game we won by a little bit.
Well, I wouldn't say Alabama wins games by a little bit.
No, not many. There's a couple. I mean, 2017, we barely beat Mississippi State. A&M was close. Like, there was just a couple that year. Every year there's just a couple. But there's just something about those big victories. He just tries to bring you down a little bit.
Yeah.
Were you there whenever they, like, left Kiffin at the bus stop? Like...
No, that was you talking about when he was our OC and then he wasn't, or what are you talking about?
There was like a story where he like the team bus like left after a game without him.
I think that was the year before I got there, or that was my freshman. You know what? That was my freshman year at the SEC championship. I think. I think that was, we left him at the Georgia Dome. I remember that happening.
Y'all left Joey Freshwater.
Yeah, old Joey Freshwater, that's right.
So, playing at Bama and Vandy, which teams did you hate the most? Like as Tennessee fans, I hate Alabama.
Well,
no offense.
Well, to add on to what he's saying, you know, for us, it's easy to dislike teams because we've never personally seen them. But, like, actually playing against these teams in person and maybe, you know, talking to some of these guys, did that change your perspective on teams you dislike?
I mean, I like I have friends on all the teams, like, so it's been like I don't really care like bad about any of these teams. I think these fans are really annoying from the school places. Like when we lost to Auburn, dude, there were people spitting on my parents. Like that was yeah, dude, like people would yell like cuss words, and it's just like people were yelling bad. And so I don't really like Auburn's fans.
Well, there's a lot of emotion going into the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, they stormed the field and stuff. Like, yeah, I mean, it was a big win for them for sure. And that really helped us win the national championship.
It was a beautiful game.
Yeah, it was. But it was.
I didn't enjoy it as much as you probably did, but.
Yeah, as a Tennessee fan, I got to pick and choose things to celebrate.
Yeah.
The only thing you get to celebrate that one year was the time Golden flicked off the entire crowd.
That's the hardest picture ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was didn't a score you, like, 45-7, right? That was the game I started in, too.
49-7.
49-7? Yeah.
Hey, but those 7 points were hard.
Yeah, Tua threw that pick six, too.
Yeah, it was that's the dopest picture ever. And then there's the one Tennessee fan that has this.
That's right. And then the year before, Bo Scarborough, when he scored a touchdown, he put his hand up, like giving a high five.
I remember that
to one of the Tennessee fans, and like I think the guy might have high fived him back.
Yeah,
dude, that Monday in film, Coach Saban was so mad. Oh my gosh, he's like, "What are you doing? Like, what are you expecting here? Like, go back, turn around, celebrate with your teammates."
Oh gosh, he's probably a pretty scary man. Like, whenever he's mad, like, that's not somebody you want to be with at all.
It is, but he's also the type of guy, like, he forgets everything right away. Like, like, if you do something, like, bad to him, like, he'll remember it, I guess. But, like, if you do, like, if you have, like, if you make something in practice and kind of mess it up, like, he'll forget about it the next day.
Yeah.
But then, like, he might remember it in a while, but he'll forget about it the next day. So, it's like, he gets over things.
Were there any specific teams that he disliked himself that he really wanted y'all to kill?
I mean, all the rivals, Auburn, LSU, and Tennessee.
Yeah,
I think LSU for him was definitely, you could tell LSU was something that was personal for him.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, after coming from there, you know.
We would kill them. But there was one, they came to us one year, and we beat them bad. It was 17 when I was playing. And he had a big old smile on his face.
So do you think he dislikes LSU more than Auburn?
Yeah.
Oh,
for sure. I mean, I don't even think he really cares about the Iron Bowl. Honestly, like, I mean, like, he's like, people come up to me and say all the time, like, War Eagle. I just say, who cares? Like, who cares? It's just two schools, you know?
Yeah. Right. I always hear people say, like, Auburn's just Alabama's little brother. And, like, we just truly hate Tennessee and LSU.
Well, is it, like, Vanderbilt, obviously they're not the best at football.
You're not wrong. They didn't win the championship, so you're right.
But, like, y'all could lose every game of the season, but if y'all beat Tennessee, would you feel accomplished?
Me personally, or as the
or
team?
Or, like, as a team?
Like, going into that last game.
From a Tennessee fan, if we went, you know, 1-11 but beat Alabama, I mean, I guess I'll take
it. I think the fans would take that for sure.
Yeah, that, I guess that's
yeah.
What meant,
the that's a, yeah, the fans definitely would.
What was it like going from Alabama's fans to Vanderbilt? Like, well, I guess on the football team, like, do y'all really pay attention to fans?
Oh yeah, I mean, like, dude, my first game at Vanderbilt was against Georgia, and it always comes back to Georgia. But like, my first game was against Georgia at home. And, like, so a bunch of my friends were there and stuff. And, like, I walk out of the stadium for the first time. And dude, it's like a sea of red. And because, well, we played when I – the year I started in 17, we played at Vanderbilt. And, like, it was mostly Alabama fans. Yeah. And it was, like, a cool feeling, like, another team. And, like, we beat them. Like,
was that the
59-0?
That was the one where that guy said
– they didn't get a first down.
Yeah.
Well, that was the year that guy said the game before. He was like, Alabama, you're next. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, and then Vanderbilt didn't get past the 50-yard line.
They didn't even get a first down.
Yeah, it was bad.
That's hard. Yeah, so, but, like, I wasn't, like, really expect. Like, people were like, our fans are awful. Like, and our fans, I mean, the Vanderbilt fans aren't awful. Like, they just expect a lot, you know? And, like, they're not going to come if, like, the other fans just, like, kind of show more, I guess. Because, like, who wouldn't want to come to Nashville for the weekend and watch your team play, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was a weird feeling seeing that for the first time. But Vanderbilt fans have started to, come out more, for sure.
This is more of their time anyways, you know. Spring's rolling around, baseball season, this is their
Yeah,
this is
and
their
then
time.
I think that first game's going to get a little bit more of attention for fans, too, just football-wise, because we're playing ETSU with the new staff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to get a lot of people to go. But, yeah, baseball, for sure.
Have you met the new coach yet? Or
I have not. I guess I'll meet him tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Do you like the hire? Or
yeah, I thought it was a great hire. I mean, he's very well accomplished and he's done a lot in his time. And he's a Vanderbilt guy, so he gets it.
You know?
It's hard to bring in somebody that's not a Vanderbilt guy to this place because this place is just a lot different, a lot more different than anywhere you've been, like academics wise. Like, you can't get certain guys into Vanderbilt just because their academics are so bad.
Yeah, that's why it's so hard for them to recruit anybody huge.
What was your relationship with Derek Mason like?
I mean, he was great to me. He brought me in. He gave me a chance. He gave me another chance, a second chance to prove myself again and play. And, you know, I had just gotten, like, wrist surgery. And as a snapper, like, when you get wrist surgery, like, you don't know how things are going to turn out. And so I just got wrist surgery, and he brought me in, gave me a chance. And let me play. So, you know, I have a lot of respect for him, too.
All right. So, on that note, I think we're about to wrap this up. We want to thank y'all for 1,000 streams through the first three episodes. You surpassed our goal, actually. The first four episodes was our goal, and you did it in three. So
thank y'all.
Applause to y'all. It. Round of applause. Make sure y'all follow us on Instagram at 615guys. And once again, we want to thank our sponsor for today's episode, Jeff Gannon, State Farm agent at Providence Marketplace. Scott, man, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me on. It was fun.
You got any last remarks you'd like to make? Maybe shout out your country music career?
I know
or your NFL career. Hopefully NFL career.
I want to give a shout out to the 615 guys.
We very much appreciate it.
Being great guys, man. This is a fun time. On the record, off the record, everything was awesome.
Yes, sir. Instagram, we can get those follows up, you know. The
Instagram at Scott Meyer, ScottMeyer, like Urban Meyer.
Yeah, he's verified, so he's big news.
Once again, we want to thank y'all for coming on, and make sure y'all keep checking us out. Follow us, follow Scott. We appreciate it.
615 guys out.